Once again, good morning and welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health. It's where we highlight the groundbreaking work that's being done at JFK University Medical Center in Edison. It's part of the Hackensack Meridian Health Network. I'm Joel Katz, and joining me is Christy Suriano, Clinical Director of Speech at Hackensack Meridian Health JFK Johnson Rehab Institute in Edison. Good morning.
Good morning, Joel.
We've met once before.
Yes.
It was a wonderful day.
Yes, it was.
Do you agree?
I agree.
Yes, and so is this. Well, thank you for joining us on the program. You have a lot of information, a lot of expertise that I think will be very helpful to our listeners. Being a clinical director of speech, tell us the main thing that you do with that before we jump into our topic today, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. So I've been working at JFK Johnson Rehab for 40 years as the clinical director of speech, and my role here is very diverse, and it keeps changing with the times. So I have a staff of over 20 speech-language pathologists. We focus on adults at this particular center, and most of our patients are patients who have had strokes, or we are definitely seeing an influx of people with more head injuries. You know, people fall off a ladder, hit their head. People are in the shower, hit their head. So we definitely see our age group is 16 and up. We treat patients who've had concussions. We treat patients who have stuttering problems. We treat voice patients, people who have like that strangled voice quality. And most recently, I think a lot of people have heard that voice quality in interviews with Robert F. Kennedy.
Mm-hmm. First thing that came to mind when you said that. Yeah, sure.
It's and interestingly, if you're watching that with, you know, my husband or my sister, they're like, "What is that? Does he have Parkinson's disease?" It's like, no, that's a strangled voice quality, something that is called spasmodic dysphonia. It doesn't come up that often, but in a practice the size of ours, we have to be sure that we're up to date on knowing what we can do to help patients who have even that type of a voice disorder. So I have the pleasure of supervising master's level speech pathologists, and we have a very active student program where we have probably about 28 interns come through the program every year who then leave us to practice speech pathology on their own. So it's a very rewarding work.
So I don't want to get on this on the whole show, but since you brought it up, the Robert Kennedy Jr., is that something that has to be treated through therapy? There isn't a surgery that would eradicate that easily. Otherwise, I guess he would have had it done.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, if you read the whole story, it seems the only thing he hasn't done is had speech therapy for his voice disorder. But something I think everyone's familiar with, Botox. So he has obviously been seen by the very qualified professionals. And sometimes an injection of the Botox, which, you know, we're familiar with Botox for the face, you know, like it's, you want to relax the muscles, and it's a very, it's kind of, you really have to know what you're doing, because you don't want to relax the muscles so much that then you have another problem, which would be the food isn't going into your stomach, it's going into your lungs, because things are so relaxed. But I think we all felt badly about was it's like difficult to listen to that kind of voice.
Yes.
He pretty much said, if I could change it, I would. I've tried a number of things. And so, you know, for someone with a voice disorder like that, there's relaxation exercises. There's coordinating breath with phonation. But it's changing how, I mean, if you think about, we talk all the time, changing how you're speaking and concentrating on your breathing, relax, forward focus. It's hard to do, but we do see patients who have spasmodic dysphonia here at JFK as well.
Okay. All right. We're talking with Christy Soriano, Clinical Director of Speech at JFK Johnson Rehab Institute in Edison. So let's get into what we really want to touch on today, which is really how to take care of your brain. There's ways to do that, and there's several ways. So let's start at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. So I think we, you know, we're so lucky to be living in 2024 where medical science has helped us to, you know, take care of high blood pressure and cholesterol and all sorts of medications. So people are definitely living longer. And I'm not sure that we have everything in place that we need to manage that. But on a, where speech pathologists come into that picture is we all know that, you know, we should eat right. You know, there is definitely a connection between brain and nutrition, and that diet is typically called the Mediterranean diet. It can really help make positive changes in your health, not only your physical, you know, your physical health, but your brain health. And we know that exercise is really important because you're getting everything moving, and there's been a lot of studies that show that physical exercise is great for brain health. But how are you taking care of your brain? Is the question I want to get into a little bit today, if you will indulge me.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I want to talk about. The term cognitive reserve, I guess you're leading into that.
Yes, I am. And so we've all heard of cognitive reserve, and I think most people are not really sure what that is. And so it is the brain skills that promote resilience. So we talked when we first got on the phone about, you know, people falling. You hit your head. So you want, if you have something happen to your brain, you want to be sure that it can bounce back. Again, you know, I just saw something on the news this morning about a football player who had a major concussion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, pretty much they're saying you really shouldn't go back. Like, you know, you've hit your brain and you really don't recover well from more than one concussion. You don't want to keep doing that. And, you know, of course, the end of that story was he said, you know, I don't really care. You know, football is my life and I want to do that. But that's where we're looking for building of this brain resilience and the cognitive reserve.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, you want to make sure, so when something does happen, your brain's a little bit stronger? Is that the you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so they did a study at the Mayo Clinic, and they looked at, you know, how can we prevent or compensate for cognitive decline? How do you strengthen those nerve networks and build new ones? And they found that, you know, intellectually stimulating activities, such as using the computer, mm-hmm. playing games, reading books, doing things like woodworking, things that you're actually focusing on, help to stave off developing something that we call mild cognitive impairment. And so, interestingly, you know, you say, well, reading books. Well, I read the newspaper, so how, you know, isn't that the same? And reading the newspaper is a good idea. But if you think about the difference between reading a newspaper and reading a book, when you're reading a book, you have to concentrate, you have to remember the characters, you have to think about what already happened in the book. So that's what I mean by trying to build these networks in your brain.
So long form better than a short form story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So going on the internet and just, you know, clicking around, just like you would on a newspaper, you're picking out articles and you're reading them, but they're, you know, 2-3 minute reads, not as effective as a novel.
Exactly. And it was interesting because so at some point we're going to talk about what's normal memory loss and what when should you worry. And so my mom is 91 years old, and she was an avid book reader, always reading books. And she is one of those people that's going to deny any kind of problems. You know, no, I'm good. I don't have any issues. I can remember everything.
Yeah, I got a couple of those.
And just recently, she has been more focused on reading the newspaper or a magazine. And I thought, it's getting harder for her to hold on to the idea. So her excuse is, it's too heavy for me to hold the book. Like, I can't do that. But really, it gets harder to build cognitive reserve. You have to, you know, while you're young, and of course, suddenly 65 is very young. You know, you need to start trying to build up those reserves so you have something to fall back on. Another thing that we really talk about is like trying to learn something new, you know. So if you're someone who always did crossword puzzles, maybe try Sudoku or something that's a little different. And then in your everyday life, you want to start remembering new things. For example, where you park your car. So at JFK, we have two parking lots, and I have two cars. So every day, I'm trying not to park in the same space. So interestingly, last week, I come out to the parking lot, and I can't find my car.
Shocker.
I'm thinking, did I not lock it? And it was stolen. Like,
that's
where,
the first thought, right? It's not me.
Where could it be? And turns out I was looking for my wrong vehicle. I had brought the white car instead of the black car. And so that we consider to be normal memory loss. And just, you know, those little things that you can do every day to kind of, so of course, every day this week, I'm like, okay, white car in parking lot B, white car in parking lot B, white car in parking lot B. I mean, I've resorted to, if I'm at a, you know, a mall and I'm parking the car, I'm literally taking a picture of.
Yeah, you take a picture of the where it is. You know, parking garages, you want to do that because that's usually, because it all looks the same there.
Absolutely. But if you have the energy and can just try to make your brain remember, that's a great exercise you can do every day.
You know what I'm going to start doing? I'm going to start driving the JFK and finding a white car in parking lot B and moving it for fun.
That would be a good thing. Today it would be the black car.
Okay. The hell's that for your cognitive reserve?
That would be good.
Yeah.
That would be good.
Christy Soriano, Clinical Director of Speech at JFK Johnson Rehab Institute in Edison. So when you start noticing changes, and as you mentioned earlier with your mom, and I noticed it with my parents, they're not noticing anything, but I'm noticing it. Now, my mom will say, oh, I can't remember like I used to. But she's not really giving in to the fact that it could be an issue. But we notice it. And we'll point it out sometimes. You know, you don't want to make them feel bad. So what do you do when you notice things like that? You mentioned, you know, my dad reads the newspaper. My mom reads books. But my mom does the checkbook. And it's always, it never balances.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, what's that bank doing? She goes to the bank to find out what they did wrong.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So white car, parking lot B. So what do you recommend to when you start noticing this stuff is happening?
So, you know, we started, you know, something simple with my mom was, you know, using writing stuff down on the calendar. I mean, that started out pretty well. I have to tell you, that's not as good as it used to be. And even myself, I was always someone who could remember something like a social event. Like, you know, you're doing something for fun. And so I have a couple of my high school friends, and we always go out to celebrate each other's birthday, and who lives in Connecticut, who lives down the shore. So it takes a lot to come up with a date that works for four people and where you're going to go. So we come up with this date in August. I don't write it down anywhere. And then 2 weeks before October 13th, my friends asked if we wanted, another group of friends, if we wanted to go see Jersey Boys. And, non-refundable tickets, go online, order the tickets, make the dinner reservation. And then I think, that date is sounding familiar for some reason.
Mm-mm.
And, of course, that was the day that we planned on celebrating my birthday. People rearranged their life calendar.
Oh, my gosh.
That happened. The easier thing would have been not to go to the new event, but you definitely have to write things down and then remember where you have that place where you're writing.
Where you have to remember where you wrote it down. You know what you should do? You keep it in the white car
in
parking lot B, because you're never going to forget that. No, nor am I. If anyone ever brings you up, I'm like, I know what kind of car she has and where she parks it.
And where she parks it. And but that does bring me to when we should worry. And
right.
So, normally you forget where you parked your car. You forget things.
Yeah, once in a while is okay.
Yeah. But when something happens, like what happened to a good friend of mine, her 58-year-old husband, it seemed that he had changed a little bit. His personality, he wasn't as easygoing as he used to be, thought nothing of it, everybody's grouchy, not to generalize, some men get grouchier as they get older. So she kind of let that go. But they had gone away on a vacation, and they came back, and they were at the Newark airport picking up your suitcase off the round thing that's mm-hmm. just going around.
The carousel.
Thank you. I better.
Yeah, I was like, well, that's something that people forget too, the luggage and the carousel. But go ahead.
And what was what made her know something was wrong was the suitcase came up, and he couldn't seem to figure out what he needed to do. Like the step, I need to grab that off the carousel in order for it. So stuff like that, none of us want to remember how to do that, but you do. So it is, we had a person that came in last week, a gentleman, 75 years old, was retired from a big job. And so he was starting to notice, like, having some memory problems. And one of the questions we ask on a test is, name for me as many fruits as you can think of. And he could only name 6 fruits. And normal would be around 12. And so you know what happens in that case, Joel. He's saying, I'm not a fruit person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really.
I don't think about that. Well, I'm as you're talking, I'm thinking, can I name 12 fruits? How many fruits can I name? And I'm sure everybody listening is doing the same thing. But
believe it or not, you really can. You mm-hmm. know, you'll be surprised. That was word-finding problem that would be more than you would expect. And, a lot of times, although studies show that there are more women with mild cognitive impairment, right this minute, we're seeing a lot more men than women. And I think it's the wives are saying, you're not right. Like, you need to we need to do something about it.
Yeah.
And the sooner we see the person, the better, Joel, because we get a chance to know the person. And so if this leads into mild cognitive impairment, I'd like to talk a little bit about that. You know, as people are living longer, you know, there's dementia, and typically dementia doesn't just happen overnight. There are stages that lead into severe dementia, and what I'd like to talk a little bit about today is that, you know, denying those problems, you know, my friend's husband who didn't get the suitcase. I didn't see it. It was going too fast.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you couldn't do the steps. No, I don't know fruits. It's like, you do. Like, mm-hmm. Put your head into, you know, if you don't food shop, you know, if you say, well, I don't do the food shopping. My wife goes, and it's like, But if you're ordering fruit, you know, like, in the summer, there's some different fruit.
Right. I mean, you certainly should know that.
Exactly.
But, and so, I mean, obviously, you know, a lot of people don't listen to their spouses in general when it comes to things like that.
Yeah.
But if we can get through that, and let's say you have a conversation with your spouse, and they are, listen, why don't we just go get you tested? And they agree to that.
Yes.
In the few minutes that we have left, I want to talk about, you know, the specific programs that you have there.
Right.
That people can reach out to you and take care of this.
Exactly. And so most people have a primary care physician that they see. And if they say, you know, I'm having a little more problem with my memory and my thinking, our primary care doctors, neurologist, will write a script for a speech language cog eval. And we have started seeing so many more of these patients that we were able to secure a grant for a group that we run weekly. And again, kind of basing it on the science that says you social networking, talking to people, is really a great way to build your cognitive reserve. And it gives people you know, something that they have to remember and get ready for. So our group happens on Thursday or Friday. So mm-hmm. Thursday morning, you need to be thinking about, okay, what am I wearing? What time do we need to leave? We've got to park the car, go in. And our groups are so engaging. You know, everyone in the group is having a little more trouble with their memory and their word finding. We focus on current events. If the group happens to be people that are more interested in sports, it's a great way to increase your socialization, talking about different things that the group is interested in. The people that come, they don't miss. They come every single week. It becomes mm-hmm. a good part of their program. And most of our clients really do participate in individual therapy as well. And we're building cognitive reserve. If acting like it's not happening doesn't address the problem.
Yeah, no one wants to admit it because it's scary.
Exactly. And so we start working on things. We're helping give you compensatory strategies, trying to come up with a new way to get to those words in your brain, and we're really excited about it's called the COG Wellness Program, Cognitive Wellness Program. We have it here in the Department of Speech Pathology and Audiology at JFK University Medical Center in the Johnson Rehab Institute.
Awesome. Christy, thank you so much. Christy Soriano, Clinical Director of Speech at Hackensack Meridian Health, JFK Johnson Rehab Institute in Edison. We got a lot of information here that you said earlier, very early in the conversation, you said we've all heard about cognitive reserve, and I hadn't. So this was definitely a lesson for me.
There we go.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Joel.
Yeah, thank you. For more information, you can go to jfkmc.org, or for a podcast of this broadcast, you go to foxsportsradionewjersey.com or magic983.com. JFK Spotlight on Health is brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health. Keep getting better. I'm Joel Katz, and we'll talk again next week.